Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It is a show, a podcast show, a comedy video game podcast that happens twice a week where two old guys, and still for like another year, rather young lady, talk about old games. It is original. She kind of frowned at me a little bit when I said for another year. In the corner of my eye, I was like, I know she's staring at me hard.
I feel like you keep extending out my young lady status, mm-hmm. and I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. I was about to say, you don't like that?
No, I do. And I'm perpetually younger than you guys. I mean, I'll always be
until we fulfill our interstellar fantasy and go out to space for a while and come back.
Spoilers.
See, I'm gonna extend your youth for a while. And it's going to be nice and flattering until one day that I'm just like, this decrepit old bitch, talk about old games. And I'm going to cut it off hard.
Just don't do it like around my birthday because then you'll just add insult to injury.
So. We're going to wait until you're super sensitive about it. Then we're going to drop that axe.
Well, on your 30th birthday, that's what, because I'm sure that's what you'll be recording with us the day you turn 30. And that's what I'm going to hit on hard.
That is many years in the future. So let's
many
not
years.
Make, that's many years. In
so
future.
Many. It's
let's
so
not
many
make
years.
Any plans.
Can we record your 30th birthday party? Like, can that be the thing that we do? We record a podcast.
The one
like,
where Nicole weeps for an hour and a half.
It's not that bad. You just drink a lot.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fine.
Well, I don't feel like you guys can be like, yeah, it's not that bad because you're guys. So.
Yeah.
No, I'm a very vain man. Yeah, I mean, it's a big.
No, I think it's generally that we get better looking the older we get.
I like that myth.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like that myth.
Josh tells me that all the time, that he's going to be handsome and I'm going to be an old hag.
He's perpetuating the myth. But he has to.
Josh has gotten better looking as he's gotten older.
You have to, like, keep up with things. Like, I got to pull hair out of. Like, just places I never expected to pull hair out of.
That's just going
to
be me on a bed eating, like, seven pizzas. Only getting better as I get older. No. Not into me now. Just wait a few years.
Mm-hmm. Wait for Mother Nature to kick in.
It's Original Flavor Wednesday, so that means we're counting down Dorkly's top 25 N64 games. So this week, we're on number 20,
we think
I believe.
So. Believe we so. Think so.
With Kirby 64. But first, I had a weird dream the other day. And I sent you a brief text about it, Dave, because mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about it on the show. We were all at your house, and I think maybe it was Christmas, because I think there were like presents and everything around. So I don't know. We're just having our annual Tadpog Christmas mm-hmm. gathering. I'm on the floor, and you're like on the couch, and you have like the iPad, and you're looking at something. And normally behind your couch, there's your windows where your cats will lay and look out the window.
Right.
So I look at you, and I don't know how I didn't notice until this moment, but there are two identical cats on your windowsill, and they are human-sized cats.
Okay. Then are they humans maybe in fursuits? Or? Oh, I didn't mean to spoil your fucking dream.
And like I look at them for a while because they're, I forget what it's called. Where they're mostly black with like
white. Tuxedo.
It's like turtle or something like that. Cats.
I know there's tuxedo cats where they've got like the white bellies and then uh-uh. the no.
No,
and
they were.
There's tortoise shell, of course.
Tortoise shell. That's okay. It. They were tortoise shell cats. And like I look at them and like you don't even notice these. They're just on either side of you, human sized cats.
Yeah.
And then like one of them turns and makes eye contact with me, and it's like, I mean, it's wonderful. This furry suit, I guess, that it's wearing, like, they look just like cats, only they have human eyes.
Okay. That's
and then, like,
weird.
The cat, like, human-sized cat gets off, crawls into your lap, and, like, it's like a full-sized person turning circles in your lap and kneading mm-hmm. on you, and then, like...
What's my reaction to all this?
Just like your cats do every
just
day.
Just non-reaction. Just still browsing the porn on my iPad.
Yeah, you pet the cat a little bit. You're looking at the iPad.
Yeah.
The other cat gets down, does the same. They get in the floor and come up to sniff around me. And that's when I realized, like, the two cats are actually my cousin and his girlfriend.
That's okay. Now the text message makes sense. I think the text message you sent was, like, very vague. It was, like, dream about cousin and girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, this is really weird. Why are they? I was like, I asked them. I was like, Chris, and like, but he's in full cat mode. He's not gonna talk to me.
Character,
yeah. He's not gonna break character. So Dave, why is my cousin and his girlfriend like dressed as very realistic cats in your house? Well, yeah, I wasn't for it at first, but they said if I let them live here and be my cats, they would give me a present. I was like, okay, well, what's the present? And you whistle, and then in through the door comes a corgi roughly the size of like a refrigerator laid down on its side. Like
I would do that.
Like it was like maybe the size of Lil Sebastian.
Yeah, it's a fair trade. So. I let your cousin and his girlfriend live in my house with my cats if I got a corgi the size of a fridge.
So yeah, like Lil Sebastian Corgi comes and is like lays down. I just pet his massive, massive belly with my cousin and his girlfriend cat, and we just open presents. And it's been a good Christmas.
That's good. That's good. I'd totally take that deal. Nicole, would you take that deal? What would it take for you to let two grown people dress as realistic cats, not cartoon cats, and live in your house?
I don't know. If they helped out around the house, I guess.
Well,
they can't break. As a cat can help around the house.
Well, can they break? Like, can they do like whenever I'm not there? Can they be not cats when I'm not there?
They get a break, right? Like the cat union.
Yeah. Like, all right. Well,
file a grievance.
I own the cat between the hours of 8 and 5, and I get a 1 hour break.
What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. And, man, I'm really tired. I'm not drinking coffee. Thank you, Tyler, for this sugar-free Red Bull that you've gifted me. At some point, I'll need to pay you back for all these because I've drank a lot. I was playing... I went back to an old frenemy last night. Civilization 5.
Okay.
Civilization 5.
Say, for Dave to bust it a Sex in the City term, it's got to be something.
Is that a Sex in... Is that where it originated?
That's the first time I'd heard it, yeah.
Okay. I just listened to teenage girls talk on the internet. That's where I picked it up. So.
I just hang out in that penguin chat room.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. What is penguin chat room?
I've seen it on people. It's like a game on Reddit for people to go and see how quickly they can get banned.
They talk about Linux or?
It's a chat room for kids. And everything is very, you can't like, they're very particular about the language.
Yeah, this is an episode we're going to do. This is an episode we're going to do. Is this voice chat or is this like?
And it's just text.
Oh, damn.
But like all your avatars, they're all penguins.
This is the first Tadpog Twitch stream. You and I go into this chat room and just like see how long we can just skirt the edge of getting the ban hammer.
So yeah, it's just them as penguins going at random people just saying fuck your mother's ass and just see how quickly they get banned.
See how quickly Chris Hansen shows up. Civilization 5. I played with Time Lord Josh Edwards, which I just really wanted to say his name.
Mm-hmm.
He is very good at that game, and we played Paul Ruby Baron. Paul was supposed to play with us. His computer died. So just two people, figured it'd be pretty good, pretty short. We could probably wrap it up in a night. We started at 6, and I crawled into bed at 2 in the morning. And we still weren't done. So I guess what I'm saying is this is an advertisement for anybody who wants to play Civilization 5.
So you're playing like against each other?
No, we were playing together. Okay. Yeah,
you're two like allied countries or two allied conquerors?
Yeah, two allied civilizations.
Okay.
And it was a pretty...
So you sure they're called civilizations and Civilization 5?
Yeah.
I wasn't right with conqueror or country.
No. Take a third guess. he was a conqueror. Yeah, he just took out his entire continent, and I was very, I was very peaceful. I was playing as Egypt, and I was going for a cultural victory. I founded the religion of love.
Nice.
It's pretty cool. Nice. It's pretty cool. I mean, he was totally going to like just win the game by himself, because here I was just in the middle of the world, just like, yeah, man, we just build all this cool shit and then like don't attack anybody. And I mean, they just like us. They just like us. That's how we do things. Mm, mm. That's it. That's a really shitty intro story. I can tell this. I feel kind of bad telling it, but like I came home from work and like half of my yard was mowed. Just half of my yard was mowed, and like no kind of sensible pattern or anything like that. And I walked inside, and Nikki was home. She was off today. And I walked inside and I said, did someone mow our yard? And she's like, I don't know. I heard the neighbor on the mower. I'm pretty sure that for some reason he mowed half of our yard, because it is just like, it's a fucking mess out there. I don't know what he was thinking. He's an older dude. Mm-hmm. And, I think he might be getting to the point where he's not allowed on the mower anymore.
I think our neighbor loves crop circles. I'm going to try and do one of these on his yard. Yeah.
I don't know what's like worse. It's like, I really didn't care. Like it really didn't bother me a whole lot. Like, I guess if it had been someone like maliciously doing it, but he's kind of like the next door neighbor Magoo, where it's just kind of like, he probably thought it was his yard. It's not a big deal. And that's exactly how I felt.
She'd go over there, grab it, and make him finish. He finished what he started. Yeah.
Hey, man, this is not cool. This will not stand. Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, anybody maliciously mowing. Like, I wouldn't care. Like, they'd be on their mower, like, shaking their fist and, like, cussing at me as they're mowing my yard, doing it very maliciously.
Oh, my dad will mow a neighbor's yard.
Thanks.
You haven't seen my yard yet. When Tyler mentioned crop circles, he's pretty much like, it looks like my yard has the mange.
Mowing someone else's yard is like my dad's favorite sign of passive aggression. Because like, if a neighbor do it in time, he'll do it and then sit on the porch and just like stare at their house until they notice like he's done it. And then I guess they're supposed to feel bad and they'll do it next time.
This neighbor loves mowing yards, obviously. Mm-hmm. Not very good at it, but he loves mowing yards. So like, there have been times where I felt bad, because like, this dude normally in his prime, when we first moved in, would mow his yard like probably once every 4 days.
Yeah.
He's a retired dude. I mean, that's what he does. Like, we play video games, this guy mows his yard. Mm-hmm. And he would every now and then mow our yard. And at first I'd feel really bad about it. Like, I'd feel guilty, or it's like, oh man, it was long. And I mean, it fucking was. But then I just got like excited when he would do it. So like, you might want to tell your dad.
And then mad when he wouldn't. Yeah. Like, where is that guy not going to mow my yard?
It's like fucking long.
I don't know. Like, the generation before ours, like, man, yards are so important to like people of a certain age. Like, my yard can get like really long, and I really don't care. I don't care if my neighbors get mad at me. It doesn't bother me. I don't care. I don't care about my yard. Like, I wanted a house that really had no yard, because I hate mowing. I don't care about it like at all.
You didn't get that because you got a pretty big yard.
Man, yeah. But my dad is like, so like, my mowers, I have a riding lawn mower we bought at an estate sale, really cheap, and it breaks down like all the time. But I mean, no matter how busy my dad is, he will come over here, fix the mower, because I have to mow. I have to mow on like a schedule, and I have to make it look nice.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, like, I'll mow and then I'll go inside and shower, and then I'll hear my mower kick on again when I'm inside, and he's going over what I just mowed because I didn't mow it properly.
Yeah.
And then he'll like, I did a better job for you. You need to do your corners, blah, 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 blah. It's like, okay, sure. It's fine.
I care to the point where it's like, I just want it to like look okay. Like, it for my neighbors, honestly, like, it doesn't matter to me, but like, I do feel bad when it's, cause I live around a lot of retirees, and like, when they like, it's like they get together and they've got a calendar and they've got a day circled. It's like, this is the day we all go mow. And it's like, I'll be inside just kind of like relaxing, and then I'll hear one of the mowers start up. I'm like, oh shit. And then I'll hear another one start up. It's like today, it's today. It's today. I don't even have gas in the can in the shed. I'm gonna have to go get gas to fill up the mower.
You've moved like the Stepford Wives mowing club.
Yeah.
Where it's like you're the only one who just had the programming hasn't sunk in yet.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe I'm just faulty. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just faulty. Yeah.
But wabi sabi, man. Yeah. What's up, Nicole?
Hey, I mow my yard every 5 days.
Like clockwork?
Yes.
There you go.
You like mowing, right?
I do like mowing, yeah.
Gardening and yep. lawn care and yep. all that.
Have you told Josh how lucky he is? Do you remind him that every 5 days when you're like going out to mow?
Not about the mower, yeah. But.
No, like I told him he's off tomorrow and I said the yard has to be mowed tomorrow, but if you don't do it, I'll just do it when I get home. So.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, because you like weed eat and mm-hmm. everything.
Yep.
Man. I've been doing that recently. Ugh. Just because there's just things that the mower can't get.
Nah, I fucked up my kid. Fucked up my legs as a kid so much.
When that is kidda?
I fucked up my kid. Like,
well, you already had ears.
I give her the weed. They're like, get out there. And she just looks at me. Get out, earn your keep, go weed eat. She puts it in her mouth. It's like, God.
I have been looking at an empty playpen for like the last 30 minutes. Is there something that you'd like to share?
She's not coming in until she finishes weed eating.
You fucked up your leg weed eating?
Yeah, it always like hit my ankles or like I'd hit something and a piece would fly off or something like that. Like yeah. My legs, I always messed up my ankles and my legs weed eating.
I always manage to like hit a rock or something with it and it fucking flies up and hits me in the face. It's pretty cool.
You have glasses, but you know, safety glasses if you don't have glasses.
Nah. Yeah. Nah, all my neighbors are too tough for that shit, so I just need to grow a thicker skin.
I don't have an intro story, but I was gonna ask you guys a question.
Mm-hmm. Is it about lawn care? We keep going on this.
I feel like we covered that.
Lawn care podcast.
That wouldn't be pretty popular.
I'm sure it exists.
It'd be more popular than Tadpog if they're really good like, lawn would. Maintenance flips podcast. Yeah.
No, I was reading an Ask Reddit thread the other day about would you rather questions.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that I had a hard time with, so I was going to ask you guys. If you had to pick one of the following and you could only have this one of the three for the rest of your life, would you pick cheese, chocolate, or alcohol?
Cheese.
Chocolate.
I picked alcohol.
There we go.
Hey, we got a good mix tonight.
It was really hard for me. I eliminated cheese pretty early on, but when it came down to chocolate or alcohol, it was really tough.
See, because like chocolate for me, like I can eat whatever kind of sweet, but it doesn't satisfy me until I have something chocolatey, then I'm good. So like if I couldn't have chocolate, that just itch would never be scratched food wise. So cheese I can replace with various other things. I love cheese though.
Mm-hmm.
Alcohol's no big deal. That's not fine. No, not I don't care.
I can figure out another way to get fucked up, and that's like the only reason I would drink is like to get inebriated. Because mm-hmm. I'm never like, God, I'm fucking thirsty. I want to drink something that like just burns and doesn't quench this thirst and just makes me fat. If I could get something that does all three of those things, I would rather just like, I don't know, figure something else out to get me in that state of mind. Chocolate.
I want to drink something and throw up and still get fat. What can I do?
Chocolate's good, man, but chocolate, it doesn't taste nearly as good on a hamburger as cheese. Hmm. So I have to go cheese.
See, I can do avocado instead of cheese on a burger. And be,
avocado
and be
is really good on a burger.
I don't like both of them together. Mm-mm. It has to be one or the other.
It's no substitution for me, though. Plus, yeah. Man, cheese is just like, if you cut me open, just where there's supposed to be water, it would just be like nacho cheese.
And I love blue cheese, though. That would be the goat cheese and blue cheese would be the hardest for me to not have anymore. Because, God, I love both of those so much.
Goat cheese, definitely. Blue mm-hmm. cheese, I don't know.
Blue cheese with steak on a salad or on like a turkey sandwich. Mm-hmm. God, I love blue cheese.
You want to change your answer? It's not too late.
No.
Okay, chocolate then.
No, I don't have like a cheese itch. I just like it. Chocolate though, like I specifically crave chocolate a lot.
What's your favorite chocolate? There's different kinds of chocolate, yeah?
I like very, very dark chocolate. Whenever I was doing keto, I had to eat like 90% dark chocolate And I got to really like that, even though everybody else I gave it to were just like, ugh.
Yeah.
I've never seen Sean Miller of hashtag More Miller fame make a more terrified face than when he ate that 90% dark chocolate. But
what's the other 10%?
Well, it's the rate. It's
air.
Just air. It's how much of the milk solids are left in. So like milk chocolate has, I think, over like 50%. Okay. And then the more and more you put into it, that's why like white chocolate isn't technically chocolate because it has, the ratio is off.
So you're saying I can eat as much of that as I want?
Yeah, absolutely. As much white chocolate as you want.
That makes a good substitute. Like if I melt that down in a bowl, I can dip my salsa chips in there.
You could do that. That'd be a good goof. That'd be a good goof.
Do you have a favorite brand of chocolate?
No, I don't guess I do. I'm trying to think of the, of course, the first ever chocolate, name brand chocolate I ever got just addicted to where I would want it constantly was Toblerone. Toblerone bars. Fuck, the first time I had that.
Have you seen the giant ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's every time I hear Toblerone, I think of the giant bars.
And then I love, they're hard to find. A lot of them you just can't get in America. The Kinder chocolate bars and eggs are really, really good. Forget what the brand that has the midnight dark chocolate, but like organic super dark chocolate. That's where it's at.
Is it? I'm not really good with chocolate brands. Is there a brand called Lindt?
Yeah, that's my favorite. Lindt's my favorite.
Yeah,
I like. I don't. I'm not a huge chocolate fan. Obviously, I would choose cheese, but they do have these really cool. Like, there's a sea salt dark chocolate that I really like. Like that is really good because for some reason that you could probably explain it better than me, but like that mix of salt in there, like takes the edge, like the weird edge off of that dark chocolate.
Well, that's the thing about like salt. Salt is unique in that it makes anything you put it in taste more like itself. So like, I mean, salt's good in everything. Like you see like the trick about a pinch of chocolate, I don't even have any liquor. A pinch of salt in chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Like makes it better, or even in like all baking goods, there's a little bit of salt in it.
You make cheese better.
And that's the magic combination of salt, fat, and sugar are what makes foods like particularly addictive.
You should make a really addictive. You should make the super addictive food. That should be the thing that you do.
Okay. All right.
Dedicate your life to
just enslaving people.
Yeah.
No. Taking out the stuff that's addictive.
No.
Like tobacco, but with chocolate. Yeah.
No, you're like Tony Stark, man. You just make it, and then the government comes in and buys it from you, and they're the bad guy.
Okay.
Yeah. They're the ones who put it in every kid's school.
It'll be my Ultron. It's fine.
Exactly.
Talk about Kirby 64?
That would be good.
All right.
Do you hear that?
Yeah.
What? What is it? I mean, I didn't hear it. I just asked if you heard something. Oh my God.
Dave.
Oh my God. It's your cat relatives. It's your cat relatives, and they're very realistic. They're Steven Spielberg quality cat suits. Yeah, I see them. They're riding in on this train that's made out of, man, it's on chocolate rails, and the smoke looks like, I don't know, some kind of like diffused alcohol in the air, and they're carrying a lot of cheese. Just a lot of cheese. Of course, everyone listening knows that particular train ushers in a segment that we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. Kirby 64 : the Crystal Shards. Or as it's known in Japan, 64 Hoshi no Kabi Ruku Juyan. Translates to Kirby of the Stars 64. It's like Dancing with the Stars, but you do it 64 times.
But Kirby has eaten Steve Buscemi.
Oh, that would be a transformation.
I meant to say Steve Gutenberg, but my mind went to the other Steve that I know better. That's Steve Buscemi.
In Kirby 64, he could eat one of the Steves and then digest him, hold the essence of Steve above him, throw the essence at Steve Gutenberg, eat him, and then he'd be double Steve. We'll get to the mechanics of this game in a minute, I'm sure.
The Guten Shimmy.
That's when Kirby stops and questions his life. Like, what have I done? Guys, it's a Kirby platform game. If you haven't pieced that together, it was developed by... Okay, I need to settle this once and for all. Is it HAL Laboratory or is it H-A-L Laboratory? I'm just going to go with HAL.
HAL, I think HAL's better.
Yeah. I mean, okay. HAL Laboratory and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo 64. It is the sequel to Kirby's Dream Land 3.
Okay.
That's interesting. I did not know that. I probably should have read this before doing the show.
That's not how we roll.
That's true. Although Kirby appears as a playable character in Super Smash Bros., this is the only game in the Kirby series to be released for the N64. And then they go into gameplay and plot and all that stuff, which I'm sure we will or will not get to. We could try.
Yeah.
We can make an effort to try to talk about that stuff.
Nicole, since you were the N64 aficionado, because I know Dave and I aren't, I'm sure he has not played this game before then.
I had not played this game before.
Okay.
Tyler, had you played it? Okay.
I didn't know there was a Kirby game on the N64.
I didn't either. I didn't know there was an N64 until we started doing this show. I just thought it was a weird toaster that only did one slice of bread at a time.
What was that thing that Mario 64? I've heard of that. What was that out on? GameCube?
No. I'm glad they stopped that. But well, actually, no. I guess that's brought back because now everything's like Wii U, right?
Yeah.
Because like I feel
Mario Land U and shit like that. Yeah.
But like GameCube, that kind of like they kind of stopped that, right? Because it wasn't like Mario Cube.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I guess they just want to make sure people know what they're buying it for.
This game, I was a little worried about it because I wasn't sure like how I'd feel about Kirby through like a 3D Kirby like this, because like what I've known Kirby for is a 2D and like any iteration I've ever played. So I was worried about it and then stunned when I sat down and played it in that it looks 3D but plays very much 2D. You're on rails. So is that 2.5D?
It's 2.5D. Okay. That is the technical term for it. Yep.
So I was actually happy that it was 2.5D.
I was too. Because when it started up, I immediately was like, uh-oh. I'm going to be running around a lot. This is going to be a nightmare to like line up with an enemy in order to inhale him and copy.
Oh, you're right.
Like, that's the first thing I thought was this is going to be a nightmare. And I was like, hopefully there's a way I can lock onto an enemy and then pleasantly surprised that I don't have to worry about that at all because this is essentially a 2D game that's modeled in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
What did you think of it when we put this together yesterday, Nicole? What did you think about it?
It was okay. I feel like that's my overall like feeling toward the game. It's okay.
It's pretty okay.
Would you rather have Kirby 64 or a grown human adult inside a cat costume?
Kirby 64.
They'll do anything you want. Anything.
Anything a normal cat would do, you might have to trick it just a little bit. Yeah,
it doesn't have to be sexual.
Employ some trickery.
No, Kirby 64.
Okay. They'll use a toilet. We'll throw that in there.
You can train them to use a toilet.
It'll be really weird, though, because they won't sit down on it like a human. They'll stand with, like, all their hands and feet.
All four squatted. Yeah,
squatted down. You might have to clean the tail. I don't know.
But one thing I know I liked right away, I don't think you did, Nicole, was the joystick disabled. D-pad only. Yeah. I was so thrilled. Really? So thrilled.
Really?
I was very, very unhappy about that.
I was unhappy about it, too. I got used to the D-pad, but here's my thing, man. You don't have to disable the joystick. Like, that's cool that you can control it with the D-pad, because there have been a bunch of games where I've been like, man, this would be nice if I could control it with the D-pad or the joystick. Just turn both of them on. Just have it both.
Or you can do both.
You've got a joypad there. And I thought that I would like the D-pad a lot. This is really like the first game I think that we've played where you can actually, it does something.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really used it. When I was holding the controller, it, like everything, like it felt so far apart. Like my hands felt like I was holding a skateboard. I guess I just gotten used to having my hands close
together.
Have it
like a Game Boy.
Yeah. So I don't know.
No, I was happy to hold the computer like a fucking human. I'm so happy.
What do you like about the D-pad over the joystick?
I just hate that my hands are so close together on the N64 controller. I was happy to have them spread apart with comfortable grips.
Mm-hmm.
It's all it really is.
I don't care what you guys say. I still love the 64 controller.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a fan?
I am.
Aesthetically, I think it's pleasing. I understand why they put it, the joystick where they put it, because it's a good looking controller. I just think in practice, I don't like it as much.
No, that controller's, I'm not even going to be diplomatic about it. That controller's garbage. That it feels bad. Like it feels cheap in my hands. Like the joysticks are literally put in there with rubber bands that snap when you play Mario Party. No, not a fan.
There's like a whole underground for third party N64 controllers though.
Really?
I mean, there are a lot from like, I've seen pictures all over game collecting. Like people go crazy for all these rare third-party N64 controllers.
Specifically 64? Because usually you and I know, and Nicole, you probably know, that pretty much third-party controllers are garbage.
Yeah, you buy one to punish whatever friend is standing out of your house. Fucking mad cat shit. But there are like, there's some ones that people like prefer much more than the Nintendo ones. And they don't look all that different. They're not set up like crazy different. They just, they're put together better.
Yeah.
So I've seen some that are like, $200, like okay. rare Japanese ones that people love and will only play on. So
I was about to say, for it. Maybe I'll try one of those out. I don't think
so. Well, maybe not that one special rare Japanese one.
No, that's the one I want, Tyler. I want the controller that's made out of Earthbound.
But this game, yeah, I guess I'm with Nicole. It was okay. I had some things I liked about it.
Yeah.
But the challenge of the game, I didn't feel was like, it had these cool elements. It wasn't like the platforming or the enemies or the bosses. The hardest thing, the challenge of the game is Kirby is so slow.
I'm so glad you said that.
Kirby is just fucking throw a human in that Boston molasses.
Bringing
molasses
it back.
Disaster, yeah.
Bringing it back.
It's
I love
just
it.
Like you're just running through and all the enemies are super fast, and you're super slow, and that's the game.
I didn't necessarily feel like the enemies were fast, except for the shark.
Oh, my God.
But I felt like the normal enemies and levels weren't all that fast. I felt like it was just overall slow.
Mm-hmm.
The robot shark boss? Which shark?
The shark boss who would, like, throw up bones and other fish mm-hmm. and
oh, yeah.
shoot missiles at you. Okay. Like, man, I hate that super tedious shit that's just, like, hit him once. Wait for the 5-minute pattern to go away. You yeah. hit them once again. You got to hit them 6 times before they're dead. Up, second form, same thing again. Whew.
Combined with how slow Kirby is.
How fucking slow he is. And then, yeah, slow normally, underwater level.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's my biggest gripe about the game is how slow Kirby is. Mm-hmm. He does have a dash, which makes him about as fast as Mario walking. And that's, like, I'm not exaggerating. Like, he can dash, and it's like you have to hit, you got to tap forward twice, mm-hmm. and he'll start running. And it's about the speed of Mario and Mario 1 just walking across the ground.
Oh, man. Because it's still like, and the float mechanic is just like, fuck, that is even more nightmarishly slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate they put a cap on it in this one. You sure. can't just float across the level like you could in other Kirby games.
I think you can do it like 8 times. I tried to count it at some point.
Yeah.
And then he runs out of air and will plummet
yeah.
slowly.
So
plummet's not yeah. really a good word.
So I'm fine with that. He plummets like a feather to the yeah, ground. Exactly.
I liked the copy mechanics in this game. Probably better than any Kirby game I've mm-hmm. ever played before. So I really liked that. I feel like if there was at least maybe even just a mode, where like a turbo mode, where everything's maybe 50% faster, this game would have been a big hit for me.
Yeah.
Because the way the copy mechanic works is, it's like in every other Kirby game, you can inhale enemies. And some of those enemies, you can, when you eat them, will give you abilities. Will give Kirby abilities that he normally wouldn't have. And they maintain that in this game, but they allow you to pair up different enemies' abilities. And I'm was this in Dreamland 3, and I just completely forgot.
I don't remember it being in Dreamland 3.
I don't remember it either, and I didn't bother to go back and like play it or listen to that episode that we did.
No one has time for that.
No, ain't nobody got time for that. So it was to me, it felt really new and really cool because I've got that personality where it was like, okay, So I can eat an enemy that has a lightning ability and then eat an enemy that has a rock ability, and those things will combine together. And now I have, whenever I use the ability, now I have a boulder that's on an electric lasso. And it's like all the combinations seem like they're really, well, not all of them, but a lot of them seem bizarre like mm-hmm. that, where it's just like extremely creative, where they were like, they don't go to like the obvious thing.
Yeah.
My only complaint about how you do that is it's cumbersome to get a pairing, because in order to do it, you have to eat an enemy, you have to inhale an enemy, press down to copy their ability, press one of the triggers to remove the essence of the creature you've just eaten, their soul,
yeah.
hold it over your head, and you have to throw it at an enemy, hit it, and then their souls will combine, mm-hmm. and then you have to waddle over and swallow that soul.
I miss so many times.
I know.
Like, that's the God.
Me too.
Kirby's hitbox, enormous.
Yeah.
Hitboxes of every single enemy, so small.
And if you miss them, that essence just evaporates.
Yep.
It's completely gone. So it's like one of those things.
Nicole found another way to do it.
Oh, if you inhale two at the same time.
Oh.
So I liked it that it wasn't necessarily just if you had two that were different, but if you had two of the same, then you got a different ability as well. So
yeah,
I thought that was interesting.
Did you have a favorite one in general, like a favorite pairing?
I really liked what you had was it
double fire?
No, with the ice and
the ice and the bomb.
The bomb. It was a snowman.
You were basically invincible.
Which one is that?
I liked it just because it was cute.
Yeah, because you would. I mean, because the ice normally you just like a pillar of cold around you turns everybody into ice cubes you can push. And the bomb, which is super powerful. That's how I try to roll through most of the game, was with the bomb power. But both those together, Kirby turns into a snowman with a bomb on top of his head that's lit. So anything you run into will explode and then freeze.
Okay.
And it gives you, you're covered by the snowman. So you get hit and you explode, but you don't lose a life. So you basically have one floating hit bubble. So you could just run into stuff, it explodes, something else hit, or a projectile comes out, hits you, you explode, you just bring it back up again. So I was nigh invincible with that power.
Did you get the one where you turn into a refrigerator?
No.
That's my favorite one, because it happened and I was like, what the fuck? And it was awesome, but horrible at the same time, because like I did it when I was fighting a boss. And it was like, I just turned into a refrigerator, and his ability is, when you hit the attack button, just the door swings open and food comes out.
What combination made that?
I think that it was ice and electricity.
That's funny.
And yeah, what I did was I just spammed the button, the attack button, just filled the room up with food, and then ditched the ability and ate all the food, and then fought the boss without it. So it was kind of cool.
Because I got the first one I ever got was eating the cactus, where you get like a arrow projectile, you get fire, you can shoot flaming arrows like way across the screen.
Yeah.
That was helpful. So the bomb and the ice, double fire enabled you to actually go quickly.
Yeah.
Because you turned to like sort of like a phoenix arrow. And there was one, I happened to get that right before the level with the lava wall chasing you. So I fucking burned through that level no problem, because I could actually move quickly through enemies, across the lava, everything, no problem.
Did you ever get, you probably did, because I think it became super common later in the game. Did you ever get double lightning?
Mm-mm.
Holy shit. Double lightning was my bomb, my frost bomb, because that essentially makes you like, you know when Sue Storm does her force field?
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what you do. And it's really wide, and you can just, it acts as, it shields you, but it also destroys enemies that it touches. So you can just kind of float across, drop down on a bunch of enemies, and just unleash this sphere of electricity. Nice. And it's got like no recharge time. So you can just, anytime you need it, just pop it.
See, I like that. I like that a lot. That is one of the better things about the game.
I think it's the best thing about the game.
Yeah. Not being able to be Deity, finally.
You're kind of him, right?
I mean, Kirby's riding him. But that's one thing I thought was weird. Like, there's no dialogue. They're just, cinematics.
Right.
And it's just, it's in-game graphics, so, but like, Kirby's there, and then he's having a picnic, and then this evil black thing comes down, and then he's got to go, and then it's just, the whatever narrative is there is very, very loose. You just know they're crystal shards.
Oh, really? Both of you? Nicole's nodding. I love the cinematics.
Yeah.
I love the cinematics. Like, I thought that was, like, a really strong storytelling element, because it was... It felt right for Kirby. Like, I don't think I would have liked it if it would have been type on a screen where it's like, here's Kirby and he's on a picnic and this is a fairy who rode into this world on a crystal and now you have to collect all the crystals. It's kind of childish in the way that it's like communicating a story. Like, you're right, it's a loose fucking story, but it's communicated to you in a way that a 5-year-old could understand because they don't have to read anything. Yeah.
They're very mean to Kirby, though. All Kirby's friends hate him. They try to drown him at one point and then flee the world without him. But overall, like, I enjoyed the first few levels. By the time we got to the volcano, I was pretty much done with the trial and frustration that the game turned into. With all the lava and then the falling projectiles and then... Just the speed, it became too frustrating for me to really keep going. I got to the boss of that stage, died, got to beat him. Oh, a second form that has an attack that just fills the whole screen. Okay, I'm done with this game. I'm going to put it down now so I don't break this game because it's Dave's cartridge.
I'm glad. Hey, thank you. Thank you for not doing that. I liked most of the boss fights. Some of them, like the shark that you're talking about, is the worst. It's the worst fight because it is so long. And it's a fight that you have to learn. It's not a fight that you can go in and kind of intuit what you're supposed to do. And it's so slow that, like, that's the one that I died several times on. And by the end, it was just like, I'm ready for this to be over.
It was so frustrating because whenever the shark... Because you have to hide in, like, the upper left-hand corner to avoid, like, his flips. So then he'll do this thing where he goes in the foreground, goes in the background, smashes onto the ground, and makes boulders come up that you can suck in and hit him with. But you've had to hide in the corner, and the boulders at the bottom. And you're so slow, you get about halfway there before they disappear. So it's just like, that's another opportunity. I guess the programmers put it in there. You're supposed to be able to hit him now to make the fight not be so long. But you do not have time to get there and get those projectiles. And it was just, the whole thing was just so fucking frustrating.
I think the second most frustrating one, I'm kind of glad that you didn't get there, is the final boss.
Yeah.
Because it is a long battle. It's a long battle. It's one of those battles where I'm in the middle of it. And I'm like, shit, this is taking so long. If this thing has a second form, if it has anything other than what I'm fighting right now, like, there's no way this is happening.
Yeah.
Because it's this thing, you know? It's it keeps changing to the different elements that Kirby can copy. Mm-hmm. Like, I say elements, but it's, you know, fire and the ice, and it'll switch to spikes and stuff like that. And every time it does an ability, you've got this, like, I mean, it is like a 3-second window to inhale whatever residual effect that it shunts off, and you have to use that to hit it, which is pretty standard Kirby fare, right?
Yeah.
But the difference is, like, the amount of time, like in the shark battle, the amount of time that you have to suck up the weapon is so small, and you have to hit this motherfucker, like, 50 goddamn times. Like, it is ridiculous. And of course, you get hit, you have 6 life bubbles, and when those bubbles are gone, you're dead.
Yeah. So that just reminded me, what you said about that just reminded me of the boomerang power, which was kind of, Nicole liked it. You didn't like it? You liked what it looked like.
I liked what it looked like, but it was, like, not useful at all.
I know. Yeah. It's, like, the worst, isn't it? It is, like, the fucking worst.
Because it's very Dragon Ball Z Majin Buu-ish. Because, like, Kirby pulls off part of himself to shape into a boomerang and throw it. So, like, you're a third of a Kirby watching this boomerang with your face on it just twirl into space and then come back to you and reform into full Kirby.
And you're even slower.
Right.
Yeah. While the boomerang's gone.
And I don't think you can jump. You definitely can't float.
Can't do anything. Waddle.
Yeah, it sucks. Oh, man. The first time, and like the double version of boomerang, of throw, the throw ability is even worse. I mean, it's not worse, but it's doesn't help you out any because it's just a bigger, you just tear a bigger piece of you off. So it's like, well, there we go. I'm just throwing a bigger piece of me and I'm just going to waddle along at quarter speed.
Oh, fuck.
While I wait 5 seconds for the rest of my body to return to me.
It's like playing Street Fighter Turbo. Like, turn it all the way down. Turn it just down to one star.
Yeah.
And both of you be Zangief. Have a great time. Ugh. But, like, otherwise, one thing, I guess because of the combination powers, like, that took up a lot of room on the cartridge.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like in other Kirby games, it's like every enemy you suck up has a different ability.
Yeah, I felt like there was a large percentage of the enemies that didn't have any,
mm-hmm.
and that was kind of frustrating.
Because I feel like that's kind of the appeal, is just like sucking up all these different enemies and wondering what they give you. And like mm-hmm. enemies that would clearly should have an ability because they're unique looking enemies
mm-hmm.
don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy with the maracas. Mm-hmm. Surely, nope, nothing.
A little bouncy thing.
With the umbrella, umbrella power, no, nothing. Okay.
I also didn't like the fact that it didn't, none of the bosses or they weren't weak to certain abilities. Like, I feel like, you know, in previous Kirby games that we've played, you could go into a boss fight knowing that if you had a certain copy ability, that it was mm-hmm. going to be really easy, but it wasn't like, there wasn't anything special unnecessarily about each of the bosses.
Because I guess really there are only like 6 or 7 powers, and then it's just a combination of those powers or the double that take up everything,
mm-hmm.
which is cool, but I guess there's a downside to having still being cartridge-based that you have so much memory, so they had to, in order to fit that mechanic, had to reduce the number of powers overall.
I think it was worth it, because I love the double abilities. Like that, if this game didn't have that, I wouldn't even want to play it. And which saddens me, because I like Kirby games generally. They're very easy games. And I think that this one is probably one of the harder ones that I've played.
Completely agree with you. I think this is the hardest Kirby game I've ever played.
But with that being said, if it didn't have the double copy, I think it would be mediocre.
Yeah.
I think it was – I feel like I've kind of shit on this game a little bit.
There's more negative – like it's still an okay game, I guess, just it's – flaws are more fun to talk about than what's really good about the game. So it's going to seem like we're shitting all over it, but...
It's not a great game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have a problem saying that it's not a great game. I guess it belongs on this list. I don't know yet because I haven't played the rest of the list. But, I mean, it's not... At no point when I was playing it was I like, this game is really shitty.
Yeah.
It was all just kind of like, okay... This game is, I can play this game. I can finish this game. I can get through it.
It's not better than Resident Evil 2.
It's not. No, I agree with you.
So,
and that's going to be.
I think it's better than Shadows of the Empire.
I think it's definitely mm-hmm. better than Shadows of the Empire. It was funny, Nicole, I was thinking about you as I was playing it because I had a hard time when I was like, is this game better than Pokemon Snap? I don't think that it is.
I don't think it is either.
I had more fun playing Pokemon Snap than I did Kirby 64.
Yeah. Pokemon Snap is at least charming, and mm-hmm. usually Kirby games are, mm-hmm. but this one, like, I don't know, it just didn't have, like, the cute appeal, or, I don't know, I guess I was just so, I think you're right in that if it was just faster.
It's so slow.
It was just faster.
It is so fucking slow. Like, it is infuriatingly slow. It's like one of those games where I'm playing it, and I can see what's going to happen, like, 3 seconds ahead. Like, it's, oh, well, that enemy's going to kill me. I better get out of the way. And it feels like I'm steering a giant ship where I got to like start spinning the wheel. Got to spin the wheel to get out of the way. Nope, doesn't happen.
Like none of the Kirby like handheld entries are like that Mm-mm. at all. Like I feel like Kirby's got more speed than this. I don't know why it has to be so slow.
Maybe because it was 3D. Maybe. That maybe they figured they needed to slow it down so that our kid brains could process what was going on. I don't know.
Should we turn the enemy, make them slow? No, make the enemies just regular speed. Make Kirby slower.
I did want to comment on the similarities between this and Mario Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said that several times when we were playing.
Because like you go from planet to planet,
mm-hmm.
And the way that the planets look, like whenever you first see them in the name, like just the way that it's spinning and mm-hmm. kind of exploded a little bit against the star background looks very similar. And the fact that you are collecting shards that are scattered throughout all these planets, where in Galaxy you're collecting star pieces mm-hmm. that are mm-hmm. on these planets. So I found that very interesting.
I didn't make that connection. I think that's a really good observation because, yeah, you're right. I mean, the menu select screen where you're going from planet to planet does look a lot like Galaxy.
The shards, no fucks given. Didn't even really? Didn't even attempt.
Oh, God.
Didn't give a shit.
It was like, funny because you and I had been playing for like two or three levels, and I was like, I think those things mean that's how many shards are in each level. I was like, we've been doing really bad, and you're like, yeah, I don't care.
Don't care. I'd see someone on the other side of the screen and be like, oh well, we're going to stay there. Hope they're happy.
How are you going to reassemble the giant crystal so that the fairy girl can get back to her planet?
She's stuck. She's my wife now. Fuck it.
She's your mail order. Yeah. She's your mail order bride. Sorry.
You're the gluttony monster's mistress now. Fuck off.
I wish I would have had that attitude. Because of course I went into it like, oh yeah, we're getting all these shards. Because you know something's going to happen when you get all the shards. And then I played through the game. There is an ending that totally denotes that it's not the real ending. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, yay, you saved the day. All right, great. And then they cut to one of the friendly characters, not in your main group, mm-hmm. but who's celebrating with you. She's like a witch with spectacles on, yeah. and she kind of narrows her eyes and looks at the camera, and it's like, okay, well, clearly there's more to this game. And then it, you know, does the whole like Looney Tunes portal thing, and then yeah. credits roll. So I'm like, so clearly you got to collect all these damn shards. Ugh. So I was like, I'm going to go back through and try to get the shards that I missed. And I made it to the second planet.
I'm going
to
put nails in my pee hole. It's fine. That's what I'm going to do.
It wasn't that bad. But I will say that I didn't get past the second planet on the way through because it was like, it's tough, man, because this is one of those things where it's like, if I swear to you, if I were doing this at like 11, 12 years old, that would be the best fucking thing in the world. It would be the best fucking thing to be like, I'm going to get all these motherfucking shards. It'll be like when I was playing Donkey Kong Country. And it's like, I'm going to get 101% on this motherfucker. Just why? I ain't got nothing. I don't have anything better to do.
I'm going to go to school.
No, fuck that. Fine. What am I going to do while I'm at school? Talk to my friends about how to get 101%. So I don't know. But as an adult, like, wanting to play other games, it was really tough. And that's ultimately why I gave up. Because mm-hmm. it was like, I got Civ 5 to play with Time Lord Josh Edwards. I can't be playing Kirby 64.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sad to say.
Can't be pushing this marshmallow through molasses for six more hours. Yeah. No.
It is kind of a short game. And you said what? 6 hours. Yeah. That's about how long it took me to finish it.
I think Paul said he beat it in like 4. That's Paul Kuhl.
That's really good.
So if you want to see someone play it, then watch Paul play today. He did Kirby 64.
If you want to see it, excruciating slow Kirby.
At least go there. You don't have to watch it all. Give him the view, and then you just right. then you quit. But give him the view.
Maybe that's why they made him slow, because maybe he was like normal Kirby speed, and then they were like, oh, shit, guys. Short. We just made a 2-hour game. What are we going to do? Do we have time to add another planet? No. We don't have time for that. Could we just make him like half the speed? Yes. You get a raise.
It's the equivalent of like double spacing your essay. Yeah.
Pulling the margins in.
two spaces after every period. Uh-huh. Yeah. Every little trick to make it longer. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm making it easier for you to grade. I'm not padding this. You got plenty of room to write comments and stuff.
Times New Roman 12? I thought you said 13. I'm sorry.
12.5. Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like it should be a lot lower on the list so far compared to off the top of my head, I think I enjoyed, I don't know, I think it's probably about the same level as Bomberman for me. I wasn't crazy about Bomberman 64 either, but Resident Evil and Pokemon Snap were better.
I like this better than Bomberman, and I think it's because it was 2.5D and not 3D. I think if it had been full like 3D like Bomberman, this game could have been a nightmare to play. Kind of like Bomberman was at times.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have to mess with camera angles. Oh, my God. It was great to play. And I guess I like that about Pokemon Snap, too. I mean, It's one of those things where it's just like, I don't have to worry about these yellow C buttons. They just don't fucking do a thing, and that's fine. I don't have to worry about rotating the camera around, which is a thing that doesn't bother me in modern games, but like when it was first being invented, man, not fun.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Well, I've seen an art thing that I enjoy seeing. I've seen lots of reinterpretations of Nintendo characters as the seven deadly sins. It's like Wario is typically greed, and Kirby is almost always gluttony.
Sure.
So it's been a long time, but I've got a quiz for you guys.
Oh, man. Some of our listeners don't like quizzes.
But it's not a it's not a Facebook quiz, Jay. Don't worry about it. But I've got a quiz about famous gluttons.
Okay. Is this for both of us or just
for both of you?
For just Nicole.
It's just, I'm just going to ask the question. It's for the two of you to work together. Number one. Mm-hmm. This glutton often indulged in his favorite snack, a fried peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley is correct.
I also love peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Fried peanut butter and banana
fried.
Sandwich? There's another one because I was looking up all his favorite sandwiches. Yeah. And he also liked a loaf of Italian bread with peanut butter, bananas, bacon, and jelly.
Oh.
It's also another big thing.
Wait, wait. What kind of jelly?
Grape.
Oh, okay.
Concord grape jelly.
Okay. I'm in. Oh, not Schmuckers? Never mind.
This royal had a court palace kitchen of 55 rooms, staffed by 200 people, where he would serve his guests 14 course meals.
Louis.
14th.
Louis the 14th? That sounds good.
Henry the 8th.
Ah, damn it.
Because he's the one that's really fat in all of his, yeah, all of his pictures.
Louis the 14th was Versailles, right?
Right.
That's what I was thinking, like, yeah, opulence. Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
We're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
Number three, Rosebud the Sled would have had a very hard time supporting this famous glutton.
Orson Welles?
Orson Welles is correct. The Godfather, A Streetcar Named Desire, and Apocalypse Now were notches in this glutton's expansive belt.
Brando.
Marlon Brando is correct. This comedian, often wearing a golf hat, which we had a discussion about what to call
Louis Anderson. Louis Anderson. The answer is Louis Anderson.
Often wearing a golf hat and acting beside Burt Reynolds in Cannonball Run.
Ah, that's not Louis Anderson. Nicole?
Is Cannonball Run not on AF, the top 100? Sure, maybe Cannonball Run 2 is then.
I've never heard of that. What is that?
He's our Chris Farley. I'm drawing a blank on his name right now, which really fucking sucks. Right? John Candy? Is it John Candy?
I would say John Candy is more of our Chris Farley, but that's not who
that's not who it is. And I don't. Then who is it?
I was going to say, whenever you said Chris Farley, I was thinking John Belushi. But
John Belushi is a good glutton.
Dom DeLuise.
No, Dom DeLuise. Man, my mom had some seasoning with him on it or something.
he was a comedian and a chef.
Yeah. And then he was he did the voice of something in American Tale.
Yes,
right?
He was.
What did he do the voice of? Oh, damn it. I don't know. Now I gotta watch that.
Now we have to contact Second Breakfast at the Dom DeLuise Marathon.
Yeah, which I want to credit them for, like, that. I think that's the first place that I heard someone say that John Candy was our generation's Chris Farley.
Blake called in with a question, like, something about Chris Farley, mm-hmm, and they basically mocked Blake for like...
The Oathbreaker?
That's the low-hanging fruit, Blake. Blah, blah. John Candy... And they went on a big thing about how great John Candy is and how much... Chris Farley is sort of funny, but yeah, that's a less inferior generation's comedian.
I feel really bad for not getting Dom DeLuise. Mm.
This glutton sports a paper crown, has a sheepdog named Hot Dog, and lives in Riverdale.
Jughead?
Jughead Jones, correct.
Okay. Yeah, I guess he is a glutton. That motherfucker eats a lot of fucking hamburgers, doesn't he?
Hamburger, everything.
Everything.
Everything, really.
Hmm.
This heavy eater eats sandwiches 3 feet tall, but his wife gets all the credit.
Dagwood.
Dagwood is correct.
I'm a glutton scholar. Gotten more of these right than when you asked me who quoted things on our show.
Mondays are the worst for this indulgent eater of lasagna.
Nicole, activate.
Garfield.
Yeah, Garfield, nailed it. No Louis Anderson yet? Come on.
Number 9. Pinchy Wonka, Chewbacca.
Jabba the Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
I just wanted to draw that out as long as possible. Truncate silence is going to like totally destroy that comedic moment. But I just want everyone to know that there was a point where like Tyler looked at both of us and just like gestured like, come on, fuckers.
Come on. I don't know what I'm saying. Come on. A poor construction worker, a one-eyed Southern man, a Speaker of the House who became president, and a football coach were all roles of this heavy eater.
Okay. Can you read it again? Nicole, I see the wheels turning.
I'm thinking.
A poor construction worker, a one-eyed Southern man.
I got it.
A Speaker of the House who became president.
I think.
And a football coach.
I don't know. Okay. I know an actor who was a one-eyed Southern man. I'm thinking John Goodman, but I can't, like, I haven't seen enough John Goodman's, like, Tyler didn't mention King Ralph. I don't know what, I think Dan was a construction worker in Roseanne.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe?
Yeah, let's go with it.
John Goodman?
John Goodman is correct.
All right. When was he a Speaker of the House?
West Wing.
Oh, so, okay.
And he's a football coach in Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
There you go. Pretty good.
Oh, that's it?
Pretty good.
Oh, man.
You went nine. You went 9 for 10.
Damn you, Dom DeLuise. I'm
sorry. You went 8 for 10.
Henry the Eighth.
Henry the Eighth.
That was a good quiz.
Thank you. I like them like that, you know? Pretty easy.
Like what we can do.
Yeah. Ones that I don't go home and weep. Tyler, do you have any achievements for this game?
I do. I have 2. I've got On It Like Yogi, which is that when you jump from to the item on the farthest end of the picnic.
Oh, yeah.
That weird thing.
We didn't talk about that. We have to talk about that. Please explain it.
Do we have to talk about it? Because I don't think it was that big of a deal.
Oh, no. I think it's so weird. It's so weird that
it's
we can't.
Really weird.
Like, if we don't talk about this thing, I guarantee you there will be a Facebook message being like, you didn't talk about the thing you do at the end of the level?
Like, normally Kirby will have some sort of a game for you to get some one-ups.
Right.
And this game is all of Kirby's friends were having a picnic. And there's the picnic blanket spread across the floor, and it's got food and one-ups and items on it and stars that do what the fuck ever.
Well, they give you stars, man.
And Kirby is in the corner, and you press the button. He starts winding up like he's going to jump.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to point him in whatever direction and then try to leap onto these items to get them. But if you miss, you'll just land in between all the items, and Kirby just bursts out in tears.
Really sad-looking tears.
Yes.
Like waterfalls pour from his eyes.
The exaggerated anime crying. Golden Boy style.
I don't understand really how it worked. I don't understand how like you powered up for a long jump. I don't know if you like you tapped it to go further. No clue.
I think that you powered it out. Like you waited, right?
It depends on the position of his arms. Yeah. Because
okay.
Like if his arms are back, you go further.
Oh, okay.
And that's what he does is kind of just swings his arms from front to back. You know, like a kid or I do when I have to pee. And you do that thing where you rock your body.
Another reason his friends are dicks. So like here, you could have one thing to eat, Kirby, but you have to jump to it.
Mm-hmm.
If you miss, we're taking it all the way. Fuck you, hero. Fuck yeah. You.
Meanwhile, they're eating everything.
Yeah.
They're eating everything on the
this
side.
This weird rubber meat.
Yeah, well, there's that one, like the cut scene wherever they're going to the next planet and they're walking through the desert and Kirby is so like thirsty and hungry that he starts to see like mirages of his friends' food.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stop and the painter paints food and they're all eating and then Kirby's in the middle of eating and they just yank him to the next planet. Don't even let him finish.
I think I like that though because I feel like Kirby's had it coming, right? I mean, I like Kirby, but let's face it, he's pretty much been a dick to all these people he's traveling with.
They have all been his enemies at one point in time. And what kind of demigod is this fucking painter? Like, he's just like, why is he even amongst men?
Yeah.
I mean, he could just paint food, I think, and it just happens.
I think it's a girl, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think it's a girl.
demigoddess.
Yes. Might be.
This thank you.
Androgynous demigod.
This entity.
Yeah.
There you straight go. Out of the pages of this an H.P. Lovecraft short story.
This man.
She paints food, but at what price?
Because you see her paint enemies, and the enemies look like they're drawn and colored in crayon. But like, I guess when she really tries, the food looks realistic. It becomes real, and they can just eat it. Mm-hmm. So,
and then she gives you one up, right?
Yeah, certainly. I think I don't know if you have to have a certain power to do. Yeah. But yeah, if you have a certain power when you walk in the room, she'll paint a one up. Like she can give you life. Mm-hmm. She can provide eternal life to Kirby. But like
she lords it over.
Kind of a dick about it. Yeah.
Hey, remember that time you spit apples at me? Fuck you. These are my one ups. I mean, I'll travel from planet to planet with you, but don't expect me to just give you one ups left and right.
I could paint like an army of you. We'd save the world like this easily, but no. I'm going to sit in this dark room and I'm going to hoard these one ups unless you have like the lightning power when you come in. Otherwise, I'm just going to ignore you. Fuck you. Dee, you're with me.
Waddle Dee.
Do you guys have any achievements?
I've got one. I've got, let's see. I came up with this while we were recording. So apologies if it's not the highest quality.
I guess I'll do my other one real quick. Okay. I said two and forgot. The other one is I guess you can speed by, and that's when you get the double fire. So you can actually move at speed.
That is a really good power up because you can complete. I wonder if that's like the go-to copy ability for speedrunners.
It have to be. It absolutely have to be.
I like just the fire, not even the double fire, like just the regular fire. You went a little faster. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
And you stay on the same plane. You just. All the way through, so you can skip over all the holes and lava and water and all that. So,
the only achievement I have is just like Fonzie, in order to unlock, just like Fonzie, you have to jump over the shark boss in his first form when he's doing his flips. I also feel like that is where the game jumps the shark, because after that battle was when the game, I was like, okay, I'm ready for this game to be over.
That is when we stopped really having fun with it.
Yeah.
Both of us just checked out at that point.
I don't know what it is. I think it's just that battle is so fatigue inducing because that battle's just not good. It's all underwater. It's just so slow. It's slow on slow.
And that shark is quite graceful and agile to be so fat.
Yeah, he could have shown up on the Glutton Quiz. Fat Shark in Kirby 64.
Played by Chris Farley. Who was also pretty graceful for a large man.
Jack Black, larger man, graceful. Oh, yeah. I would put him in the graceful category, surprisingly graceful. Mm-hmm. Nicole, do you have any achievements?
I don't have any achievements because, like I said, I thought this game was just okay, so I didn't bother.
Ooh. Burn.
Yeah. It's no Pokemon Snap where she'll make achievements.
That's right.
Tyler, I've got some questions for you.
Okay.
These, I also prepared a famous gluttons quiz. unfortunately, a lot of the answers are the same, so this might be very boring for all the listeners. Okay. Well, fuck it. I'll just scrap it and ask you this instead. If you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, if you were to walk up to a man on the street who had a beard and you were to open your mouth and start sucking on his beard to copy it, what kind of beard would that be?
Well, I guess I'm reminded in this game because the beard is somewhat Kirby-esque and it's composed mostly of like grease, sweat, and reflective sunshine. So it's just like the gluttonous beard of Boss Hogg.
Oh, jeez.
Yikes. The Dukes of Hazzard.
Woo. I was
because Kirby is like Boss Hogg.
He's always chasing these two Southern boys. Waddle D and Dee Dee Dee.
Played by Steve Buscemi and Steve Guttenberg.
But it's Steve Guttenberg from Short Circuit, so it's totally racist. When you said it was a beard that like embodied Kirby. And I thought you were going to go with, what do they make chicken nuggets out of, that pink slime?
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a chicken McNugget beard.
An unfried pink slime chicken McNugget beard.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I enjoyed that beard immensely. Mm-hmm. If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, if you were to put down the microphone, step away from the microphone and come over here and just suck on my face until my glasses went in your mouth,
mm-hmm.
and then you squat down,
mm-hmm.
what kind of glasses would appear on your face?
Well, it's another human personification of Kirby, and this one where the glasses are more prolific. So I have to give it the cool shades of CeeLo Green.
Whoa, okay.
Because I think, like, CeeLo Green, like, if there's a Kirby movie, CeeLo Green is going to be Kirby.
It's gonna play Kirby. There is going to be a really weird scene with CeeLo Green, Steve Buscemi, and Steve Guttenberg. And I mean, Steve Martin. He does a lot of shitty movies now. Steve Martin.
He could be the painter, like, yeah. but he acts like the character of the Jerk.
We'll resurrect Dom DeLuise
to be King Dedede. Yeah. It'll be great.
He'll be reprising whatever role he played in American Tale. Awesome. I have another question.
Okay.
I've got another question. This is for both of you. It's super important. It's a little thing I like to call, how much is this game on Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
If you were to go on Amazon right now and buy Kirby 64 used, how much do you think you would pay for it on Amazon?
See, it's one of Nintendo's like iconic characters. I don't feel like they lose a ton of value over time.
Mm-hmm.
I've hardly heard of this game. So I'm going to say $17.
$17 from Tyler. Mm-hmm. We are using Price is Right rules.
$14.99
from Nicole. Actual retail value of Kirby 64 for the Nintendo 64 used on Amazon at the time of this recording was $23. Tyler, you were closest without going over. You take it.
It's rare. $23. How much did you get it for?
I bought it on eBay for not much less than that, honestly. Yeah. I think I got it for $20 shipped. Those Nintendo games, like the Nintendo games that have like Kirby, Link, Mario, like those are the games that you can, like, I can't find those fuckers for under $20.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind where you get lucky at a garage sale or something like that.
Yeah.
Which, man, sounds like fun. I would love to do that. Like, I'd love to like go to yard sales and garage sales because it's the perfect time for it here, mm-hmm. because everyone's having them because winter's over. But man, I just can't do it. Like, I don't want to go from yard sale to yard sale with a 5-month-old. Like, that just doesn't sound like, maybe if he could like walk around, yeah. like, and like I could buy him things that he might be interested in, as yeah. opposed to him just like not wanting to be at a yard sale, because yeah. I feel like that's how it would go.
I liked going with my dad when I was younger, because yeah. like he could buy me whatever I wanted for basically like a quarter.
A nickel, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a big deal.
Right.
It's not like whenever like mom would take me to Walmart to go shopping, like then I'm going to always want something a lot more expensive.
You're
going to
throw a tantrum.
I had a lot of Hot Wheels, because she'd buy me one Hot Wheel and shut me the fuck up.
Yeah.
So.
I feel I'm so.
And all of our knives, all of our butter knives in my house were all bent at right angles because I would use butter knives to pry all the wheels off of my Hot Wheels. Because I got to change the tires. So I just pop all of the wheels off.
This one's getting bald. Cool. I look forward to going to a yard sale with Henry with like just $5 and just feeling like a boss, where it's like, yeah, what you want that broken horse? Yeah, there you go. Here's a broken horse. What you want a Power Ranger? That's, I don't know, literally they painted him gray. You want that? All right, there you go.
Yeah, you want that big stack of Cool Whip containers? You got it.
Done. How much for that box that was in? 2 cents? Cool.
I'll give you a penny. Oh, man. Thanks for coming on, Nicole.
Thanks for having me.
We're replacing John on Original Flavor Wednesdays.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Good question.
Yeah, what is next?
You want me to look it up? Well, next will be Other Ship Monday, and mm-hmm. hopefully we're going to be talking about rhythm games. It's one of those things. Well, hopefully we'll be talking about Guitaru Man.
Okay, mm-hmm. I was like, you're talking about like the category of games that are rhythm related.
I do feel like it's probably going to go there. Like, I don't feel like there's any way that we're going to be able to contain this conversation to Guitaru Man, just based on who we're going to have here. But I don't want to reveal who's going to be here, just in case things don't work out. Mm-hmm. I hope they work out. But this is one of those scenarios where people are going to be traveling to the Annex. it's not going to be as simple as like a Skype call or something like that. So whenever there's like travel involved and arrangements and like Tyler and I like actually have to like schedule something, there's always room.
We're so good at scheduling and like punctuality. We're so good. So good at it.
It was one of those things where it's like we're trying to schedule this and it's like, I didn't know it was going on. Like, I thought we had a game. Like, there's a Marvel Superheroes game that a friend of ours is running. And I was convinced that it was on the same day. And I was like, shit, just double book that. And then Tyler had to be like, no, not all Sundays are the same. Like, all the Sundays don't happen on the same day in a month. Usually we get four Sundays. The Sunday you're thinking about is not the same Sunday. So... And meanwhile, we're actually going to do it on a Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't want to confuse the people that are going to be here. Don't worry. It's still Saturday.
Oh, shit.
And then what's next on Dorkly's top 25? I don't know.
Yoshi's story is coming up pretty somewhere. Soon.
I was really specifically asking what's the next episode that I'm going to be on.
That you're going to be on?
Yeah.
Well, I technically have you down for like all of them.
You, Nicole... Let's see, dorkly.com. Oh man, I'm excited about this one. We have to get together and play this again. Mario Tennis.
That sounds good.
I'm excited. I can already tell you that I like it.
So what's the next episode that I'm gonna be on?
You're not gonna be on Mario Tennis.
You don't want to play Mario Tennis.
I don't think that you had me down for Mario Tennis.
I think I pretty much have you, like, the other ones, like, you had said, I want to do these. But, yeah, you're pretty much the blanket for all the N64 Original Hardware Wednesdays.
Unless you don't want to. It kind of sounds like you don't want to.
No, that's fine. Is that the same? Did we play that?
We played that
at the
cabin.
That's the same game?
It's the same game.
I was really drunk.
I know. I'm curious.
So
to
you'll
see
have
this.
To be again when we record so you'll know what's going on.
To be fair, we're as drunk as you were when we played, because we played doubles. You were pretty good.
Maybe that's the key for me to be good at video games is to play them drunk.
All right. Well, then we'll get...
Okay. That's totally fine. Totally fine.
We'll get like four bottles of Boone's. Set you up.
Classy.
Yeah.
What is it? Because your Strawberry Arbor Mist is your drink of... What you like to drink a whole lot of.
I haven't... Yes. If I'm planning on drinking a large quantity, then that is my go-to.
Yeah, I've seen you drink it. Like, normally we get the big bottle of Arbor Mist, and then, like, 2 hours later, it's gone, and you're smashed.
I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah. You're saying things that make you not want to hang out with us the next day, kind of smashed.
Yeah.
Let's see. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. So then miss the next episode, we'll talk about Mario Tennis. Pretty good. Mario Tennis. Nicole might be here. If she's here, she might be drunk. I don't know. Hopefully. Hopefully on both counts. Even if she's not here, she'll probably be drunk. It's fine.
You want to do shots? You want to do Vegas bombs?
Those are really good.
They are really good.
Yeah. Maybe.
Okay. Awesome.
I've got everything in there, so we can do that.
Let's record.
You have peach schnapps in the fridge?
That can be a
tank. I have banana liqueur. It's pretty close.
I have peach schnapps. So.
Perfect.
We're good.
I was just really surprised that you had it.
I used to. When I used to keep my huge fully stocked bar in D.C., like I had, I had everything. That's a whole other story, though. You know what we still like? 5-star iTunes reviews. It's the biggest marketplace. It's where most people go for their podcast. So it really helps us out getting 5-star written reviews. A great multitude of them.
We just got one recently. Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned that last episode, but I'm really excited about it.
I'm glad somebody's like, all right, awesome.
They even mentioned a game that they want us to play. That's great. We haven't got a game to add to the eventually list in a long time.
Yeah, it's true. So it's one of the Star Fox games that we haven't played before. I didn't know. I don't think I even knew it existed.
I didn't either.
There you go.
And we host a podcast about video games.
Well, that was during the dark years where we were sucked into MMOs and just like, everything's gone.
How long do you think it takes an average listener to like get to the point of listening to our show regularly where they're like, I know more about video games than these two fuckers? Three episodes?
That's exactly what I was thinking. We'll get about three.
I mean, these guys know a lot about like how to get themselves off manually, but I don't know if they're really experts on Samus.
They're more JJ RPGs where they're just jerking it. They know about jerking it and Japanese role playing games. They know they really know Chrono Trigger Earthbound and how to pleasure themselves. Yeah. But we try to give you a little more incentive to help us out. So if there's like a game you want us to play, include it in your review, or a guest host you want for any sort of episode, you could name them both at the same time. I want you to do this episode with these people. Great. It doesn't have to be with me and Dave. You can just name four totally new guests, and we'll just set one out. It's fine.
I want Steve Buscemi. I want Steve Gutenberg.
Dom DeLuise. Good luck, fuckers. And John Goodman.
You think we should do Steve Cast?
Well, what would happen is then we'd get like Jacob and Miller, and we'd all just like really work on a different impersonation of four different Steves.
Really work,
really awful.
Quote unquote, really work on impressions. Here's my impression of John Goodman. Hey guys, I'm John Goodman. What's going on? You remember I was on Roseanne?
Roseanne!
Come on, DJ. Stop being so weird. Hi, I'm Dan Connor.
Give me all your money, George Clooney's character in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I'm John Goodman.
I was in Red State. That ending was weird.
Oh,
I don't even know where we are.
Whatever you leave in that 5-star review, we promise we will get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about something. I mean, we'll figure it out. It might be Guitaru Man, probably. It might be. I don't know. You might come back. You might listen to some old episodes. So for you, the next episode might be Earthbound Part 2. It might be. I don't know. That's the beauty of this media. You can just choose whatever you want to listen to. So I trust that you'll make a good decision and listen to whatever you want to. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That is where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. That's usually a good place to let us know how you feel about a particular episode. Let us know how you feel about us completely not talking about the mini games in Kirby 64 on the episode post that Tyler will make when the episode drops. The short answer to why we didn't talk about that, at least I'll speak for me, didn't play a single one of them. Didn't even play a single one of them.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there are mini games in this game, but they're kind of hidden.
Oh, yeah. Didn't find a single one.
So, I mean, they're not... Okay, let's go ahead and talk about it for just a little bit, because I want to bitch about
it. Okay.
It's not a thing that you like access from like a start menu or anything like that. It's one of those things where I think you access it by like hitting pause, or like where you would save the game, and then just going down, there's just the list of mini games right down there, like small print.
That's weird. Okay. Why not get rid of those and give us more powers or speed Kirby up?
I hear you, man. So yeah, tell us about how you really are disappointed that we didn't talk about your favorite mini game, because I guarantee you someone will. And that's cool. I'm fine with that. We didn't play them. Let us know how they are.
Yeah, you give us your beards and glasses. Call in.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, call in. Why not? At 270-883-2555. Give us your beards and glasses for Kirby's Picnic.
Should I just see my notes real quick about this episode?
Yes.
So I've got my intro I'm going to give, the quiz, that's achievements, one. Beards and glasses. Yeah. The only note is slow. That's all I have on the block of where I normally keep notes about the game.
You can find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It is cumbersome, I realize. But thank you for everybody who is retweeting us, especially our episode announcements, and just generally tweeting at us. I haven't been as active as I have been in the past on Twitter, and I apologize for that. I will make a conscious effort to be more active. We've got a Patreon. We have a Patreon. If you feel like chipping in a few dollars, keeping us just full of Little Caesars hot and readies, you can do that. My personal goal is to have enough money in the Patreon to have one hot and ready per day.
7 days a week. That's the only meal we eat.
Yeah.
We only eat on Patreon funds.
Exactly. And then we'll see. It'll be like, we'll do a documentary style. Like, it'll be like Super Size Me, but just with like Little Caesars. And we'll be in togas. We'll just pretend like we're Little Caesar.
Roman Tadpog. It'll be great. We'll only sleep with each other and eat Little Caesar's pizza.
And your cousins dressed as cats. I'm sorry. That was gross of me. Your cousin and his wife dressed as cats. The Romans had a strict only have sex with one cousin rule. You know what?
What?
You can do that at patreon.com/tadpod.
Because as of right now, we're sitting at like 196. So if no one likes that, if you want to get us to 200... That'd be great.
That is true.
It's a better number.
I know. That sounds so stupid to just be like, man, we're so close to $200 a month that.
But I think it's pretty clear we don't mind sounding stupid.
No. And
we don't care.
And we also clearly don't mind begging, which is exactly what we're doing right now.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
So thank you for everybody who's donated. And if you want to chip in, that's where you do it.
Hey, Nicole, our theme song.
It's Moves by Sycamore Drive.
Where can you find a link to that track?
In the show notes at tadpog.com.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're very good at that. You know what you're talking about.
I've had a lot of practice.
It's only been like 20 episodes. Maybe I bet you've done 20 episodes now. Glad to be close to that.
Maybe even more.
Probably more than that. Yeah.
I wonder if you've eclipsed Burger Bottom, John Turley.
Yeah, I bet so. I bet so. I bet he's just like looking at his second son and being like, you ruined it for me. I could have been on Tadpog way more.
He confessed to me the other day that he's behind, which he's behind on episodes, which I don't think has really happened.
Yeah.
Like John has been the guy who's like texted me and been like, that was a great episode. Like I missed that text message. So John, when you get to this part, I'm not saying it so you feel bad. I'm saying it so you know how important you are to me, how important your text messages are to me.
And I will be over this weekend for your son's 5th birthday party.
For your son's graduation. How do you want to close it out, Nicole? Defer to you. What kind of?
Because you'll suggest something that that you might do.
I think that we should say Tropical Capricorn.
Okay.
That's just my suggestion.
How?
Like as robots? Like as replicants. So, just like regular, we're trying to pass as human. We're replicants, but we're trying to pass as human. So, Tropical Capricorn?
Yeah. So that's how you want to do it?
Dom DeLuise? You want to do Dom DeLuise? That could be pretty good. We're all going to be awful at it. It's probably going to, likely going to, like, offend some people.
Or say it like Orson Welles. You could do that. That'd be humorous.
Sorry, you're not going to get much from me.
or do it like Don Draper, frustrated with somebody who's just giving him bad news.
I have no idea what that sounds like, but I will try.
I can do that. I can do this one. As Don Draper.
You can do it by yourself.
I'll do it by myself.
Okay.
Man.
I
want
to hear your Don Draper.
Right, just taking over, huh?
And Meg has texted me several times. I think she wants to hang out with everybody. Now she's looking in the window.
Man, that is creepy.
So until next time, Tropical Capricorn.
Hi, I'm Don Draper.
Don Draper.
'Cause I listen to every episode, and there's no, I sound fine.
I mean, it's it's pretty much just like me yelling, Tyler, at a normal volume, and then like you're in the corner of the room, and every time you try to say something, I'm like, no, I'm gonna say a thing.
I have a really hard time. Josh said that he was gonna practice with me at home, and he was gonna interrupt me, and I was gonna have to practice like being like, no. I talk now.
I'm glad that it sparked a conversation. I'm glad that it's so bad.